This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. It's Wednesday, so you know that means Steve has quarterback club and will not be with us until the second segment, unless he gets lucky and hurries back and is able to get back in time to finish off this segment. But Penn State hosts Kent State this week. That game kicks off at 3:30 on 107.3 FM on Eagle 107. Pre-game show, I believe, starts with Steve and Jack at 2, and the pre-game show, I believe, is at 1:30. And I don't know, I was going to get into a couple local things in this half hour. The first thing I want to cover is number one team in the country in Division III is coming to town to face Susquehanna on Saturday. Cortland State, the Riverhawks. I have to concentrate and say the nickname. I still want to say the other nickname for some reason. But the Riverhawks host Cortland State. That game will be at noon on Saturday at Lopardo Stadium. Oh, it's not called that. Doug MacArthur Stadium. I'm just on a roll with the SU names. Cortland, of course, is the defending national champions. They are 2-0 coming down to Selins Grove, and they've really rolled the last two in their first two games. They have 76 and 70 points and wins over Hilbert and Lycoming. But for the Riverhawks, they are the last team to beat Cortland, and that was up at Cortland in New York last year. They beat them 38-35 in the first ever meeting between the two schools. Should be a fun one down in Selins Grove on Saturday. Once again, that's a noon kickoff between the Riverhawks and Cortland State. If you remember, interestingly enough, the Riverhawks hosted Grove City last year in the first round of the playoffs, and Grove City pulled off the upset and went up to Cortland State, and probably gave the Devils their toughest game of the Division III playoffs, and Cortland needed a field goal at the end of the game to knock off Grove City and turn that into a national championship run. Once again, should be an interesting one in Selins Grove, where the Riverhawks host number one Cortland at noon on Saturday afternoon. Then after that one, make sure you get home in time, pop on Steve, and the Nittany Lions kick off at 3:30 against Kent State. Radio Eagle 107, Television Big Ten Network. What else do I want to cover today? I think we hit on this a little bit earlier in the week, but I was up at Jersey Shore for Jersey Shore and Shamokin last Friday night, where the Indians snapped Jersey Shore's 42-game winning streak, became the first District 4 team since Southern Columbia of 2019 to beat Jersey Shore on their home field. First Heartland Athletic Conference Division 1 team to beat them on their home field since Shikellamy in 2017. It was Gabe Tilford and that team that beat Selins Grove in the regular season, and then Selins Grove beat them at Shikellamy for the district title, one of the best teams in the last few years for the Braves. And I think I said this to somebody in our office at the newspaper. You know, if the talent that Shamokin had the Mount Carmel or Southern Columbia or Selins Grove uniforms on, I wouldn't have been surprised with the way they played up at Jersey Shore on Friday night. But it's just, you know, as somebody that's done this for so long, I mean, I was working at the Daily Item the last time they won the Coal Bucket in 1995. But, you know, the Indians have kind of become known more for that futility and not winning that game for 30 years than they have, you know, probably you know, probably than anything else at this point. I mean, I'm trying to think. They made a run at a district championship in 2020 during the pandemic. They lost up at Jersey Shore. The 1995 team made the state playoffs. Coach Carm DeFrancesco won a district title there in the early 2000s, but it's been kind of barren for the Indians. So, you know, I was a little surprised that they put together that kind of performance. My initial thought, you know, the first half it was 13-0 Jersey Shore, and I thought the first thing that was going to be out of Shamokin coach's Mark Persing's mouth was, you know, he was going to be pretty upset, because I thought talent-wise they were matching up well. They made a couple mistakes. They got behind by two scores, and that's usually all she wrote up at Jersey Shore. But, you know, they kind of righted the ship. The Shamokin defense is real good. You know, they get Central Mountain this week. Central Mountain really struggled against Selins Grove last week. They're a heavy favorite. They should win that pretty easily. But then they head to Selins Grove for another big road game in 2 weeks. And I really think, you know, at one point I thought it was going to be for the two seed in the home playoff. But Shamokin rips that, gets that Selins Grove win in 2 weeks, and they should cement themselves as the top seed in District 4 Class 4A. There's a big game this week, and I'm sure Greg Wetzel will get into it tomorrow during our high school football roundtable. This game will be on the Valley on a 100.9 FM, and I do believe Matt Catrillo is going to be on the television coverage of this game on SECV8 as well. Lewisburg is heading up to Warrior Run. Both teams are undefeated, and Warrior Run coach Derek Zechman said to the reporter we had to their game at Bloomsburg last week that he wasn't sure Warrior Run had ever been 4-0 before, but if they had been, it would have been in the 80s or the 1950s. And I had a little time at the paper yesterday to go through newspapers.com for a little bit in our archives, and I really couldn't find a time in the 80s or the 50s that Warrior Run per se started the season 4-0. There was three times in the 80s, 80, 81, and I believe 87, that they started 3-0 but didn't really get that fourth win. And then I believe it was 1957, the second ever Warrior Run team was 3-0-1 but lost its next game. The closest I could get was the 1951 Watsontown Huskies were 9-0-1 that season and started that year 4-0-1. They tied Mahanoy Joint to start the season, which is one of the schools that's now in the Lime Mountain School District, and then won the rest of the games that year. So Warrior Run's having a historical season so far up in the upper end of Northumberland County, and should be a fun one up there. Going to be a battle of kind of two different ways of doing things. Lewisburg's done a great job on the ground and mixes in the pass a little bit, and the defenders threw for more than 400 yards last week. Quarterback James Kiefer was up over 300 yards, and then they were able to complete a long halfback option pass for another touchdown in a game that they had to rally to beat Bloomsburg last week. There are some other fun ones this week as well. One of the ones I'm kind of looking forward to is Mount Carmel heads up to Montoursville. It's going to be an interesting matchup. I thought Mount Carmel Southern last week was going to be an offensive battle, and that turned into a 7-6 game. So take what I say with a grain of salt, obviously. But it should be an interesting matchup again for the Mount Carmel defense, just because, you know, other than they still gave up 200 yards last week to Southern Columbia, and they've really struggled to stop the running game. And, you know, that's what Montoursville is going to try and do to you, is try and wear you down with its running game and then hit some big plays with play action in the pass, which has been their MO for years. And, you know, they've been very successful. You know, they gave Danville a game for a half before Danville rallied in the second half. And, you know, right now I think whoever wins this game kind of puts themselves into the driver's seat right now in District 4 Class 3A for that two seed behind Danville, though. Danville and Mount Carmel will do play in a couple weeks, so that's going to go a long way in determining that. In addition to Penn State and Susquehanna this week, can't forget about the Bucknell Bison on 1070 WKOK with Doug Birdsong and Charlie Fisher at 5:30 on 1070 with a kickoff at 6. Another home game for the Bison at Christy Mathewson Memorial Stadium. Had a little trouble with Merrimack last week. You know, some of the things that Doug Birdsong talked to us last week at the end of the week kind of came true. Merrimack was a little bit fast, a little bit the defense, you know, they Bucknell was able to take an early lead, but Merrimack's offense was able to wear them down with its running game, and they kind of, you know, Bucknell's made its living throwing the ball, and Ralph Rucker said in a story in our paper that, you know, Merrimack's secondary was probably the best one they faced all season, and the Bucknell receivers had a hard time getting open. They were able to force some turnovers. They got a defensive touchdown against the Bison, and you know, after Bucknell had an early lead, Merrimack kind of took control of that one. So should be a fun one on Saturday night up at Bucknell. You can get yourself a real fun afternoon of football. You know, hit that Susquehanna game at noon in Selins Grove. Listen to Steve Jones and Eagle 107 for the Penn State game that kicks at 3:30, and then make your way up to Christy Mathewson Memorial Stadium and support the Bison against Marist. So we'll take a little bit of a break. We'll be back a little bit here on the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is having their fall kickoff blitz. Savings of up to $12,416 and financing as low as 0%. Score a great deal on the award-winning 2024 Ford Bronco Sport, and SMC has 18 in stock, priced from as low as $29,965. Sunbury Motors is going to give you a Hail Mary of a deal on over 50 2024 Ford Escapes, priced as low as $27,915. Plus, get 1.9% financing for 60 months. SMC is the Hall of Fame of Ford F-150s, with 35 available, with discounts of over 12 grand, and they are slashed to the lowest price of the season, starting at only $48,859. Don't let the play clock run out on these awesome deals, as the final drive of savings ends Monday, September 30th. Sunbury Motors is a fifth-generation Ford dealer, proudly owned by the Mertz family for over a century.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sometimes I catch myself grooving to those music bumps and then forget to talk. You know, this was an interesting one I saw this morning, earlier this morning. Most of you know that, you know, the NBA, ESPN NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski, you know, Woj Bombs is, you know, pretty plugged into the NBA. He, oddly enough, he announced his retirement today at 56 from ESPN, and that's probably not the odd part, because if you know anything about those jobs, like Woj and Sharms, you know, at the Athletic with the NBA, Adam Schefter with the NFL, you know. Most of those guys, you know, tell the story about walking around with two or three phones and always being, you know, on call and you know, looking for a story, you know, getting getting nuggets from GMs and coaches at all hours of the night. And just so you think, you know, you hear he's retiring at the age of 56, you know, had a pretty good career, decided, you know, maybe it was just too much for him. But what he's retiring to do is kind of interesting. He's a St. Bonaventure grad, and he's kind of retiring to do what Coach Flannery's doing up at Penn State. Kind of, they're calling him the GM of the St. Bonaventure men's basketball team. He's going to be in charge of the setting up the NIL for the Bonnies, things of that nature. Looking at the story on Yahoo about it, it says that he will lead the recruiting and NIL efforts to help his good friend Coach Mark Schmidt keep the Bonney program relevant and eventually return to the NCAA tournament, which is not something you expect a reporter to take, one thing. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, to be as plugged in as somebody like that is, to see how his connections work for him in that sense. And I wonder how he helps in the NIL game with St. Bonaventure. I don't know, you know.
The NIL game?
Yeah. Oh, hello. Yeah, it says that he's going to be in charge of the NIL and recruiting.
Who?
Woj. Like the report, the NBA reporter?
Yeah.
Retired this morning to take that job at St. Bonaventure.
Okay.
Like, it was weird enough that I thought it was some sort of weird April Fool's thing. I had to look around a little bit to make sure it was true, and it is.
Well, I don't know. Because Dana O'Neill just left The Athletic.
Yes.
To take a job in communications at Villanova. Am I surprised? No. Because what's happening is, unfortunately, the writing profession is very tough. It's very tough. And it's very limited. And I think people are looking for long-term security. And I think part of it, too, is you have to start looking in your life, in your career at some point, about retirement, savings, pensions, things like that. I don't know what The Athletic, for example, offers, or what ESPN.com offers. But I think you have sometimes, you know, and there's also a grind to it.
Oh.
There's a grind. You know, you grind every day.
Yeah, and I don't have to get in an airplane to grind like those people do, though.
Depends.
Well,
I mean, they can do a lot of stuff on phones these days. So that means what? No more Woj bombs?
No more Woj bombs.
Well, okay. Interesting.
I didn't realize he was that old at 56, because the way I know Shefty's getting up there too, but the way those guys have to be connected to their phones and up all the time, that's just got to be brutal on your sleep patterns and your health sometimes.
Well, I think it's also brutal on your personal life.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, the personal life means so much here, too. You can't be so consumed about it where you're waiting for that tweet at 2 o'clock in the morning. I mean, at some point, that's got to come first. You know, I've been fortunate. I've been able to really, with ease, balance my life. And part of that balance is, I'll give you examples in the next half hour. But, you know, I mean, there are things I do when I'm not on the air that people will be, oh, you can do that? Okay.
In-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you. This half hour brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hubbles Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Now, we have Sweeney Murdy today, right?
And Jerry Dulac at 2:05.
And Jerry at 2:05. So it's interesting. You're talking about, like, Woj, which was a surprise that, you know, it seems like he's got one of those jobs where you're on top of the world. But as I pointed out, there is a lot of, it's so time consuming. And that is, you know, he's going to be the GM. And now, he's going to be with Mark Schmidt, by the way. And as you know, I've known Mark Schmidt for 30 years because Schmidt was an assistant coach here at Penn State. And the, and look, I'm happy for him that he gets to do that. GMs are more common now than ever. You have to have it in every sport in college. You didn't need it before. Now you do need it. But there's also a time element to it. Yes, it's going to be a time-consuming job at St. Bonaventure to do that, but not like having to cover the NBA, you know, where you're the focal point, like Schefter is for the NFL. You're the focal point of getting the information out there. It's so time-consuming. And I know today I was asked about, you know, what do I do in my free time? And the one thing I was asked at the quarterback club about that, I said, yeah, I play golf, whatever. What I didn't get into is I really try to take a lot of time because I make the time. I'm not the grandfather that's missing Little League games. Colin plays Little League, I'm there. Ben plays Little League. I don't care if it's T-ball, whatever. I'm there. My grandson Ryan, I mean, right now, like for example, my grandson Ryan just moved here. I'm making sure that I get to a hockey practice once a week. So I'll go Sunday. I'll sit in the cold rink and watch him practice hockey. Why? Because I think it's important for him to know you're there for him. Tomorrow night I have the talk show at the field. And the show will go till 7 o'clock. I'll then do the pregame show with James. You know what I'm going to do after that? There's an area where there's a gymnastics club, and my 5-year-old granddaughter practices gymnastics. And she says to me last night, "Are you going to come watch me go gymnastics?" I said, "Of course, I'm going to be there. It'll be done at 8 o'clock, but I'm going to make sure I'm there because I'm, you know." So I've always done really well at making sure I was there. In Little League, Babe Ruth baseball, I coached all three of my sons in all of them. Okay? And I did that for 14 years. Now, I was able to do those off seasons, which, of course, really helped. But I did it so I could be with them. Right? It turns out you end up coaching a lot of other kids, and I still have young people come up to me today, and they'll say, "Hey, you know," it's like, it's really cool because they, you know, they've turned into great young men and women. Of, you know, I had a lot of girls play too. I think I missed my oldest daughter's piano recital once, but I was going to be there, but we had a mechanical issue at Michigan, and so the plane got delayed by 4 hours and I missed it. But that's the only thing I missed. Now my granddaughter does crochet. And, like, she crochets animals, things like that. Well, when they had Children's Day at the Arts Festival, I made sure I got down there. And, yeah, you know, guess what? I came down there armed with cash, and I bought stuff. But why? Because she did it. So, like, I see, like, guys like Woj, and I wonder when they have time to do any of that stuff. Because I know that I make sure I have time to do it. And it's something, like, people don't know. But it's important for me to do that because I want them to know I'm there. You know, so I mean, hey, everybody, let's go to the Pirates game, right? I made sure, you know, we got to the Pirates game. Hey, let's go. You know, it's like, you know, the grandchildren with me and, you know, the parents, well, let's go to the Pirates game. Now I'm trying to set up something for a Penguins game. Because, I just said, but I can't do anything until I get I can't pick which game.
You don't have the Big Ten basketball schedule.
Because I don't have the Big Ten basketball schedule yet, so I can't pick the game. Hey, let's go on Sunday, the January, 11th or whatever it is. Let's do that. No, I can't get a game. I got to wait on this a little bit. But that's because the family component's important. The retirement component's important. And that's why I'm wondering why. I think that's got a lot to do with him doing this job. So that's why I brought it up, because, you know, you're like a 24/7 deal here. And that, after a while, that's grinding when it's 24/7. And I've been fortunate. I've been able to balance my life out pretty well, which has helped. I mean, I don't really talk too often about balancing out my life. I think people assume I'm go, 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 go all the time. I'm going, but I try to be as smart as possible about it, and I think I've got my priorities, you know? And I think that's important, and I'm allowed to do that. Like I said, like, I'll go to a hockey practice on Sunday. Well, it turns out perfectly. Pagula, where he's practicing, is right next to the football practice field. I just go from one to the other, but I make sure I'm there. Right? Building fire. Because it's an ice rink. It's really cold in here.
That was always my thought, you know, in that 2020 season, just how hard that must have been for James in that, you know, that whole year that his family had to stay in Florida.
Oh, my God. I talked to him so many times about that. And I'll never forget. Now, remember, they had, even though they were 4-5, because they won their last four games, they had a chance to go to a bowl game. And a lot of people thought they had a chance to go to the Guaranteed Rate Bowl in Arizona. Okay? And they turned it down. And I remember talking to James. He says, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I got to get to Florida. And I'll never forget getting a text from him on Christmas Eve about him getting to Florida, what it meant to see Addie, Shola, and Fumi, and just that it meant everything to him. I remember getting that text from him on Christmas Eve that year. And that was so hard on all of them. And I mean, let's face it. I mean, I think we're all thrilled when everybody was able to move back, the sense of normalcy we all have. But, like, think about that situation. That was not easy. Not easy at all. But balance. I mean, work. But also you have to remember what's normal. Okay? So I remember talking with Joe about the holidays because, I mean, Joe would go down for a bowl game 2 weeks ahead of time. Right. Say they're in the Citrus Bowl. They practice in Melbourne, Florida for a week. Then they'd go to Orlando for another week. Well, to them, Christmas on the road was normal. Same thing with James and his Fumi packs up the Christmas tree, the whole thing. That's to them, for the kids, that's actually normal. That's how they grew up. Okay? And so certain things that, you know, I know I've done with my career has been normal for them. Okay, you know, Dad's on the road. But see, what helps me a lot is the charter part. Okay, let's fly to Wisconsin. You leave Friday afternoon. You do the game. You're back Saturday night. I'm not gone that long. It's not like you're going out there. You got to spend 3 days. All right, basketball game. Go out on a Friday night. Play the game Saturday. You're back Saturday night at 7. So, I mean, sometimes I'm gone less than 24 hours based on the flights.
Have they always been charter since they've been in the Big Ten, or did you guys have to do it commercially?
In the Atlantic 10, we did charters.
Yeah?
Yep, in the Atlantic 10, we did charters. In fact, now there are places that we bus to because it's now, ever since everything happened in 2012, budget-wise, anything within 4 hours, you bus. Well, back in the Atlantic 10 in the 80s and into the early 90s when Penn State was in the Atlantic 10, we started chartering to Rutgers, George Washington. I remember chartering to West Virginia. St. Bonaventure, no. We always bust. Right. Philadelphia, same thing in football. Charter to Philly, charter to Rutgers. We always did bust back and forth to Pittsburgh. So that never changed. But we always did. And then when we got to the Big Ten, the football, the charters just continued. Basketball, the Big Ten part, chartered everywhere until everything happened, and then suddenly, you know, had to start busing to Maryland, Rutgers, things like that, which is fine. It doesn't, you know, I'm not big on buses because all the Atlantic 10 days early on, because we had to bus so many places early before they started chartering, got to the point where it's like, I hate being on a bus. I hate it. I went down to West Virginia on the team bus, but I was in the back row like, oh man, this is okay.
Now I remember why I drive.
Yeah, like, you know, the old legroom thing, getting comfortable. Like, yeah, not fun. So the bus part is like, But, yeah. But, no, they, you know, football chartered before that. But they always had to figure out ways to do it. I mean, I remember the number of times I had to go down to Harrisburg for football. On the charter, you know, charter to Notre Dame, got to go to Harrisburg, boom. Charter down to Alabama, got to go to Harrisburg. Charter out to USC, I remember leaving at like, I don't know, 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning on a Friday, and going out to USC. I was like, oof, yeah. And the game was at 12:30 Pacific time, 3:30 Eastern. And it's not going out there, and it's not getting back. It's when you land in Harrisburg. I don't care where you're coming from. It was always when you got off the plane, you're like, oh, man, I still got another hour and a half to go. Like, oh. I mean, that part hits you. And I'll never forget when they were doing the State College Airport. And Penn State was in the NIT. Let's see. And they're in the NIT in 1994. 95? No, it was 98. 98 NIT. That's exactly what it was. So they're redoing the State College Airport. So that season for basketball, they kept taking us to Williamsport to fly in and out for basketball. And this is before they had brackets in the NIT. So Penn State played a home game to start out. I think it was with Princeton. Maybe. I can't remember who. Right? Wins the game. Well, now the second game is going to be in Dayton. So we get on the bus, and the game is in Dayton is going to be on a Monday night. Monday night. So Sunday, we get on a bus. We bus up to Williamsport. I think the airport's in Montoursville. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? So we bus up to Montoursville Sunday night. Get on the plane, fly to Dayton. Penn State wins the game on that Monday night. Get on the plane, fly back to Williamsport. Okay? Get on the bus, go the 1 hour back to State College, and we got back about, I don't know, 1-2 o'clock in the morning. Well, at this point, because it's not bracketed, we don't know what the next step is. And we find out at 8 o'clock in the morning that Penn State's going to play Georgia Tech in Atlanta Wednesday night, which means, you know, again, we got back Tuesday morning at 1. We find out at 8 o'clock Tuesday morning, got to go to Georgia Tech, which means you got to leave that afternoon to go to Atlanta. So back on the bus, up to Montoursville, boom. Okay, fly down to Atlanta, right? Beat Georgia Tech. In fact, Magic Johnson was the analyst on that game for ESPN that night. Right, go down to Atlanta, win that game, get back on the plane, go back to Montoursville. But I remember, okay, how are we doing here? We're doing all right? All right, good.
That was also before I-99 was built, too.
Oh, yeah, it's exactly right. It's before I-99 was built. Oh. Like, mercy me. You're like, oh. I'll never forget what the movie they were watching. I'm trying to think the movie they were watching. They were watching You've Got Mail. That was it. The players are watching You've Got Mail. So they watch You've Got Mail on the way up. Then they watch You've Got Mail on the way back, and they pulled into the parking lot at the Jordan Center. Now, this is after they beat Georgia Tech. And everybody's tired, but nobody left the bus because there was 5 minutes left in the movie, and everybody wanted to see how it finished. I'm like, okay, all right, good, all right. They're together, which we all assume was going to happen, but you wanted to see Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks together. It's all good. You've Got Mail. Great. Oh. All right, we'll take a break. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is having their fall kickoff blitz. Savings of up to $12,416 and financing as low as 0%. Score a great deal on the award-winning 2024 Ford Bronco Sport, and SMC has 18 in stock, priced from as low as $29,965. Sunbury Motors is going to give you a Hail Mary of a deal on over 50 2024 Ford Escapes, priced as low as $27,915. Plus, get 1.9% financing for 60 months. SMC is the Hall of Fame of Ford F-150s, with 35 available, with discounts of over $12,000. And they are slashed to the lowest price of the season, starting at only $48,859. Don't let the play clock run out on these awesome deals, as the final drive of savings ends Monday, September 30th. Sunbury Motors is a fifth-generation Ford dealer, proudly owned by the Mertz family for over a century.
This is a great day, enjoying it. A little cloudy today, no big deal. To this point, not yet a big news day, although I did see something that I thought that was very interesting, and that was the ACC sitting down and talking with Florida State and Clemson about revenue distribution. Well, if they're doing that, okay, if they've renewed those talks, the question is, does that mean they're pulling back on the idea of lawsuits? The proposal would allot a greater share of revenue to schools based on brand valuation and television ratings. And in exchange for the Tigers and Seminoles dropping their lawsuits against the conference. Now, this would be big because there's been so much swirling around both those schools, especially Florida State. The conversations are said to be in the preliminary stage. The sides are not close to an agreement, but they're talking. Well, they weren't talking 4 or 5 months ago. And if they're talking now, that indicates a couple of things. Number one, the ability of the ACC trying to keep the band together. And Florida State and Clemson maybe realizing there's some handwriting on the wall that maybe within the ACC they can take advantage of this. Because if you're Florida State and you want to get out and nothing changes in terms of exit fee and grant of rights, say nothing changes legally there, you're looking at $500 million. Who can afford $500 million, especially when you're going to have to probably, where you know, it has to be approved. But when you're talking about $20 to $23 million a year, you're going to have to be paying your athletes on campus. I mean, now that's been thrown in there. Can you now afford $500 million to exit? Which is what the estimate happens to be.
If they change the distribution of revenue to those parameters, that really hurts the lower half of that league when it comes to paying athletes too.
There's no question about that, and this is more of a Big 12 Texas model. When you look at the SEC and the Big Ten, numbers are distributed evenly. The Big 12 was never like that. Texas received a relatively high percentage. Now, somebody, and I don't know if this is accurate, so, but somebody actually told me it was as much as 40% Texas got. Really? Now, again, that's what I was told. It doesn't mean it's absolutely accurate. But they received a higher percentage. That's why when Tom Osborne was at Nebraska, the last Big 12 meeting he was at before announcing they were going to the Big Ten, he asked Texas, the athletic department there, at the Big 12 meeting, if they were going to share any of the Longhorn Network money with the conference because other schools were appearing on the Longhorn Network in Texas, and they expected Texas to say no. And Texas said no, and that sealed it. They went to the Big Ten instead. So this model is not an unfamiliar model that the ACC is discussing.